All right, well, good evening. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Our area of study and our text we're going to look at is verses 17 through 32, and we will be looking at the remainder of this chapter. And so tonight I have that great privilege is to look at this remainder of this chapter with you all. And before we begin to look at our text, I would like to share a quote with you all from Dallas himself as he sits here among us. And so here's how it goes. There's nothing more satisfying than studying and pouring yourself over Scripture and discovering the great treasures that are there. Second to this is being able to open the Word in preaching and simply say, look at this treasure that is here. Enjoy it with me. And so with that said, let's look with me at these wonderful truths that we find in our text, and let's look at what God will say to us through what He's already said in His Word. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you have learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Will you pray with me? Well, Father, we bow before you once again today, Father, thanking you so much for another time that you've allowed us to come back as your people and to study your word. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to look at your word and look at these truths that are here. Father, I pray that our hearts and minds, Lord, we would just be attentive to the hearing of your word, Lord, that we would see these truths and look at these treasures that we find, and Father, that Lord, that you would just be exalted through it all. Father, I ask that you just be with us as we look at your word here tonight, and it's in Jesus Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, Harrison has started off for us in chapter 4, and tonight we're simply going to pick up where he left off for us. And in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he kind of begins to almost shift courses, if you will. If you will look with me at chapter 4, verse 1, kind of going back a little bit, the Apostle Paul begins chapter 4 by saying, "I therefore." Now, I want to bring that up because before we go any further, I want to discuss a few things that I think will help us to understand our text here this evening. Now, in order to understand this letter that we've been studying, we need to understand that the book of Ephesians is divided in half, okay? It's divided in such a way that in the first half of the book of Ephesians, in this letter, we see orthodoxy, and in the second half, we see orthopraxy, okay? In the first half of this letter, we see our calling and we see our identity in Christ, and in the second half of this letter, we see our conduct in light of that calling. In the first half, we see indicatives, if you will, and in the second half, we see imperatives. So we see this letter being divided in half, and some of you might be asking, well, how do we know that this division has occurred? Well, thank you for asking. I'll show you. We know that this division is taking place because at the end of chapter 3, we have what you would call a doxology, and at the beginning of chapter 4, we have a therefore clause. Now, to give you another example of this, in the book of Romans, we see another letter there from Paul. In chapter 11, starting in verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And then in chapter 12, verse 1 of the book of Romans, we see another therefore clause. Now, I have shown you that to hopefully help you understand this, that, okay, so in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, in this first half of the book, we see Paul showing us what God has done on our behalf, okay, through the person and work of Christ. And then we get into the second half of this book where Harrison started off for us in the book of Ephesians and now in our study here tonight, and we see these things in which we are called to. But understand, friends, we are called to these things in light of what God the Father has done through Christ on our behalf, okay? So, look at verse 1 of chapter 4 with me again. The Apostle Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy." Now, from here all the way through the rest of this letter in the book of Ephesians, this truth that we should walk worthy is kind of Paul's main point really throughout that he is really trying to push through the remaining chapters. Now, let's go back. What is this worthy walk? What are we walking worthy of? Okay, let's continue in verse 1. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called." So because of our new identity, because of our new nature that was shown to us in the first three chapters of this letter, we are to walk worthy. Now, how do we walk worthy? Let's jump to verse 17 of our text. "Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." Now the first thing the Apostle Paul says about the worthy walk is he says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Okay? Let's look at this word Gentiles here. Now this word that's used here comes from the Greek word ethne, okay, which simply is just an ethnic term which can mean peoples or nations or Gentiles, and basically it's just nations outside of Judaism. But there's something I want us to look at to help us better understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Now, if we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but if you go there, that verse simply says this, "Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." Now, here in this verse, we also see this Greek word, ethne, being used again. Now, I hope you're following along because this hopefully is going to start to make sense here, okay? So, on one hand, we see this word as speaking of an ethnic group, okay, of non-Jews. But also, this word is being used here also can speak of people, look at this, at the latter part of this verse, who do not know God. So what we see here is this. Paul is saying, you do not walk, and as Harrison's illustrated for us back in Ephesians chapter 2, this walk is speaking of a daily manner of life. So Paul is starting off in our text here, and he's saying, you do not live your daily manner of life like people who do not know God. It's simple, friends. We who are in Christ know God. And because we are in Christ, because we know God, we ought to live differently than those who do not know God. Okay? And so, it was hard for the believers here that Paul was writing to, okay? See, because they had pagan life all around them constantly, right? It was tough for them to live differently, but Paul says you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Guess what, friends? We're kind of in the same situation today. We're in the same situation. We've got evil all around us. We've got evil all around us, and we live in a world that is fueled by sin. And sin is in everything and everywhere, right? And so it's hard for the church to get people to live like Christians simply because we can't get people claiming to be Christians to stop living like the world because of the influence that the evil has going on all around us. So you see, just like it is for us today, so it was for those early Christians in the church of Ephesus. We're living in a very sinful world as well. And the Apostle Paul simply starts out our text by saying, you've got to be different. You can't walk like they walk. You can't do what they do. Because of what we are now in Christ and all that God has planned and designed and all that God wills for the believer and the body, we are to be a unique people. We are to be different. We're to be not like the rest of the world. Now, with that concluding our introduction, let's look at this text even further. And what I want us to look at now is in verses 17 through 24. And what we see here in verses 17 through 24 is we see there's a contrast being made. Okay? There's a contrast being made. There's a contrast being made here between the old man and the new man. And what I want us to look at first is the old man, or how the ESV puts it in our text, the old self. Okay, and now that's in the latter part of verse 17 through verse 20. Now, we're going to look at the old self, the old life. Now, I want you to notice something here real quick before we go any further. In verses 17 through 20, I want us to look at some things. Verse 17 ends with the futility of their minds. Verse 18 says that they are darkened in their understanding. Verse 18 also says, because of the ignorance that is in them. Verse 20, we see the word learned, and in verse 23, we see there again the word mind. Okay? I point all of those things out to simply say this, friends, that the true Christian, the one who has put their faith and faith alone in Christ, that person thinks differently than the world does. That person thinks differently than the world does. The true Christian that is in Christ thinks differently. Biblical salvation is a change of mind, friends. There is a new thinking process taking place. And so Paul, as he's giving this contrast here of the old self and the new self, the main difference is the way you think. The way you think. In the Sermon on the Mount, when Christ is speaking there, if you've never studied the Sermon on the Mount, please do. There's a beautiful progression there. But in chapter 5 through 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, when Christ goes through the characteristics of one who has truly entered into His kingdom, He starts off in verse 21 of chapter 5 all the way through to chapter 7, and this is what's happening. He starts off by saying, the one who has truly entered into My kingdom will have right thinking. And from right thinking, when you study that passage, he goes from right thinking leads to right talking, and that leads to right doing, right kind of motives, right kind of worship, and right kind of relationships. So there is a new thinking process that is taking place in the lives of those who truly are in Christ. Okay? Now, Let's look at this old self here, the old man. Verse 17 again. That you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Now, first off, those who are outside of Christ, the old man here, the old self, are, Paul says, futile in their thinking. They have, in other words, they have empty minds, right? They are focused on all the wrong things, doing their own thing, fulfilling their own lusts and desires. And really, their thinking is almost useless. Okay? It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't gain anything. It's useless. All right? So he starts off in verse 17. It says, the old self, the old man, has empty thinking. And then in verse 18, okay? Look what he says. He says, they are darkened in their understanding. So they have darkened understanding. They think they are wise and clever, but they do not have minds that have been transformed by Christ. Okay? And so their minds are darkened, right? Their minds are darkened from the truth of God. So we see the old self, the old man, has empty thinking. They have darkened understanding. Paul goes further. Verse 18. Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. Okay, so first off, we've seen the old self, the old man, has empty thinking. They have darkened understanding. And now, also in verse 18, we see that they have hardened hearts. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says there, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men, who by their understanding suppress the truth. See, friends, the old man is one who has a deep insensitivity to God, and he refuses to know Him. And therefore, his heart has been hardened to the truth of God. Okay? So we see empty thinking. We see a darkened understanding. We see a hardened heart. Now, continue with me in verse 19. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So the next thing we see about the old self, about the old man, is that he is calloused. He is insensitive. Okay? Refusing to know God causes you to have a lost sensitivity to the things of God. Okay? So, for example, I want to hopefully using this example will help us to understand this here. I know Dallas can relate with me here. If you've ever weightlifted or if you've ever did any kind of working with your hands, oftentimes your hands start to build calluses, right? They start to build calluses. Usually, if you're weightlifting, you're building calluses from gripping dumbbells all the time or gripping a barbell all the time. And so at the points, though, where your hands become calloused, they become insensitive at those points. Are you following along with me? And so when you touch where those calluses are, you can't feel anything, right? You can't feel anything. So, friends, in a greater and deeper and higher way, when someone constantly rejects the truth, their heart becomes hardened and they become calloused and they become insensitive to the truths of God. And friends, outside of Christ, this is who we were. This is who, for those that are outside of Christ, this is them. It's the old man. It's the old self. And Paul says, starting off, we've got to be different. We've got to be different. So now let's move on in our text. So in verses 17 through 20, and 17 through 19, We've seen the old self, the old man. Now, in verses 20 through 24, we see the contrast here. And then we see the new self, the new man. Now, he begins to talk about this new self, this new man in verse 20. And so he begins to unpack for us, the Apostle Paul, he begins to unpack for us what it means to, in fact, put on the new self. Okay? And so here in verses 20 through 21, Paul simply reminds the believers here at Ephesus that they had previously learned, heard, and were taught by Christ. Okay, let's look at those verses. But that, verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truths in Jesus. So in these verses, what the Apostle Paul is saying, because of what you have learned in Christ, because of what you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, because of the truth that is in Christ, put off the old self. Be renewed in your mind. Put on the new self. Okay? And that leads us into verses 22 through 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. There's that word minds again. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what Paul is saying here in these verses, okay, what he's saying here is simply this. Look, belonging to Christ, being in Christ, involves putting, look at verse 22, involves putting off your old self, the old way of living, and embracing the new self, the new way of living in Christ. Now, this imagery that Paul is using here, this picture of putting off and putting on, is this image almost of shedding off old clothes and putting on new clothes. Okay? He's using that imagery here, you see, because although we have this new identity in Christ, although we have the Holy Spirit within us, although we have this new nature, we are still, I like how John MacArthur puts this, we are still in this raggedy old coat of sin. And so the point that the Apostle Paul is making here is that, look, because we have a new mind, because we have a new heart, because we have a new spirit, a new will, a new conscience, new desires, and because we are a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So because of this truth that we are that we have this new nature, because of this, we should be shedding off those old clothes of sin and putting on the new man. Which in verse 24 says, created in likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So in other words, through this process of putting off the old and putting on the new, we are being changed and we are being conformed into the image of Christ by the Spirit of God as one who walks in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? So we're seeing this contrast between the old man, this contrast between the old man and the new man. And then, in the remainder of our text, after Paul has given us this contrast, and it's all under that thought of a transformed thinking. Hey, it's all under that thought there. So following this contrast, we see transformed living. Okay? So in the first half, we've seen transformed thinking through this contrast that Paul showed us between the old and the new man. And in the second half, we see this idea of transformed living. Okay? And that's in verses 25 through 32. So, Paul, from verse 25 through the remainder of this letter to the Ephesians, addresses specific areas of the worthy walk. He addresses specific areas of Christian living. But before Paul starts to speak about specific issues, and he gets really specific starting in chapter 5, before he starts to speak about those specific issues, we see in our text he briefly addresses a few things here. In verses 25 through 32, okay? And so what's happening from verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 5, the Apostle Paul is basically showing us the ways in which Christians, those who are truly in Christ, put off their old way of living and they're putting on their new way of living. He is giving us this picture here. Now, in verse 25, he says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So, the first issue when it comes to transformed living, this thought of the Christian life, this worthy walk, he says, put away falsehood. Speak the truth. So the first thing I want us to look at is this idea of turn from lying to speaking the truth. So Paul is saying here, we are called to put off all lying and speak the truth. But he says, speak the truth because we are members of one of another. Okay, so here we go. Because of our unity, right? Remember, Paul in the earlier chapters, even earlier on in chapter 4, he talks about this idea of unity, right? And he really tried to pound that home in chapter 3, right? So because of our unity, because of our identity in Christ, because of our new nature, put away falsehood and speak the truth. And speak the truth. Okay? Turn from lying and speak the truth, for we are members one another. Okay, let's move on. In verses 26 through 27, we see another area that the Apostle Paul talks about. And here specifically in these two verses, he talks about turning from uncontrolled anger to self-control, okay? So here what we see in these two verses is how to properly deal with anger, okay? So be angry, verse 26, and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So friends, as the new man, as the new life, we are to deal with anger, listen, by recognizing that it is there and then express it appropriately or put it away altogether. The old self didn't control his anger. The old self doesn't have any self-control. Okay, but the new self, the new man, should have self-control and deal with his anger rightly. Okay? So we see this idea of turning from uncontrolled anger to self-control. Okay? And then, verse 28, we also see this idea of turning, okay, from stealing to useful labor. Now, as we go through these, the Apostle Paul is still showing us this contrast between the old self and the new self that he talked about in the first half of this passage. Okay, so in verse 28, it reads, again, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. We're called to put off stealing, friends. We're called to useful labor, as Paul uses in our text. So, the purpose of this, though, the purpose of this useful labor in putting off the stealing is not only for our benefit, but it will also we will also have something to share with those in need. And he gives that reasoning later in that verse. So, the old self, right? The old self was willing to steal, but the new self, the new man, is willing to work honestly and be able to share with someone who's in need. Okay? Let's go further. Verse 29, we're just walking through this here. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, here the Apostle Paul is talking about language. All right, and he's talking about specifically bad language in this verse, right? So instead of corrupt talk, right? Instead of corrupt talk, we are to speak in such a way that builds others up, right? That doesn't patronize, that doesn't involve false praise, right? But it builds others up. See, the old man who was one who had corrupt talk, the old man had corrupt talk, but the new man is one, listen, who talks right and builds up others in the body of Christ. Okay? Now let's go on to verse 30. And in verse 30, it says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, there's a lot of discussion, I think, on what grieving the Holy Spirit means sometimes. Okay, but in our text, in the context of this passage, in the context of the book of Ephesians, right, grieving the Holy Spirit here is speaking simply those corruptible words that we just looked at in verse 29, is speaking those corruptible words that tear down the body that Paul was talking about, right, in the previous verse, whom, listen to this, whom the Spirit is building up in unity. So as the new man, we are to not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom is building the body up unity. So that, in this context here, that is what grieving the Holy Spirit means. And it's amazing how we can take that so out of context there, right? So grieving the Spirit in this context is just simply, as it says in verse 29, is just simply speaking corruptible words that is tearing down the body which the Holy Spirit is building up in unity. Okay? So the new man does not grieve the Holy Spirit, right? And in verses 31 through 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, all these character traits that we see in these two verses, all these character traits that we see here have to do with the way that we relate to other people. Okay? And so, as the new man, living the new life, we are to get rid of those actions and those attitudes that break relationships, And we are called to actions and attitudes that build up the body and extend, look, forgiveness and love to others. Listen, as Christ forgave us. Amen. Friends, we're called to be different. We're called to be different. We must no longer walk as the Gentiles. We must no longer walk as the world walks. We must no longer do as the world does. But we're to be a peculiar people. And we're commanded to put off the old self, put on the new self. And in verses 25 through 32, as we looked at, that should characterize the transformed life. Right? The transformed life. So, friends, let's examine ourselves according to this text. Where do we find ourselves? Do we find ourselves still living like the world, doing the things the world does? Or do we find ourselves living different than the world does and living for Christ and putting on the new man and allowing the Spirit of God through the Word of God transform and renew our minds, which will change the way we think. And once our way of thinking is changed, then our way of living will start changing. Amen. All right, will you pray with me? Well, Father, as we looked at these truths in your word, Lord, we see that we are commanded to not live as the world does, not live as the Gentiles do, but to put on the new man and put off the old. Lord, help us by your Spirit through your word. Lord, transform and renew our minds, God, that you and you alone would be shaping our way of thinking, and that therefore, Lord, it would change our way of living, and that we would live in such a way that would glorify and honor your holy name. Father, we praise you, and we pray all this.